Thank the Lord for being here and thank the Lord for his faithfulness. As you know, over the last several weeks, we've been studying or giving a series on what the gospel is, why it's necessary, what is the purpose and focus of the gospel. Today, we're going to be talking about the healing aspect of the gospel. I was thinking how when God created the world, it was a perfect world, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Nothing was wrong with it.
Yes.
Everything that he said, that he created, he said, and it's good. It was good. Mm-hmm. Very good. Yes. And the source of goodness comes from God. It doesn't come from any other source. You can't be good independent of God, period. I don't care who you are. Morally, in any other kind of way, you cannot be good except by way of God. Yes. And so what happened is, in the process of all of this beauty and all of this perfection, he put a little man and a little woman there, and he gave them something that is very important for us today. And that something that he gave them was a free will. We could do whatever we want to with our lives. We can say what we want to. We can go where we want to. We can make whatever choices we want to make. And those choices lead us in a direction. It has a trajectory on every choice that we make. It seems like most of the choices that we make are simple, and they don't seem like they matter very much, but they do. They matter quite a bit. I was thinking about my own life, and I'm not going to bore you with that, but my life wasn't that bad. I had a pretty good life. I grew up in an intact home. I grew up with saved parents, and they taught me right and gave me the foundation that I needed to go forward in the right way. And then when I came to the age of teenager, I got saved, and I didn't maintain that throughout. And I'm sorry to say that, but when I got to be about 18 years old and I went to college, and I've told you the story, and I'm not going to tell you the story now, but I want this part of it. I want to say my life wasn't broken. I wouldn't say it was broken. Even now, looking back on it, I wouldn't say it was broken, but I did see that I was getting ready to break it. I did see that I was about to make choices that were not good choices, and I knew they weren't good choices, and I was going to tip my toe in the water, and I was going to find out whether or not I could go in that direction anyway and just make it work for me. It means for a lot of people didn't have just bad lives. They had fairly decent lives, and they didn't follow the tenets that my parents laid down for me or the church laid down for me. They didn't follow that. And I wanted to try that. And that was attractive to me in some kind of a way. And I looked at it, and I began down that path. And then I came to the conclusion that you're about to tear up your life. You are about to tear up your life. And I cried. And the Lord dealt with me about that. And the Lord talked to me, just him and me. Yeah. It wasn't anybody else. It wasn't a preacher. He wasn't preaching to me. It wasn't anything. I'm sitting in a dorm room looking out of the window over these little old radiators that they had back then. I was looking out of the window, looking down into a parking lot or street that's right across from me. And the Lord started talking to me like I'm talking to you now. And then all of a sudden I began to cry, and he began to show me, Daryl, it's not going to work like this. The way that you think is going to work and the way that you have your life all planned out and all, it's not going to work like that. And so I had to make a choice at that particular moment whether or not I was continue down that road or whether I was going to tear up my life. I was talking to somebody recently, just the other day, one of the workers that were over there. We were just having a conversation about life, and he has issues, baby mama drama and all that kind of thing that he's dealing with. And so I was telling him my life, and I began to tell him the story that I decided at that point, all right, Lord, I'm going to give you a try. Y'all have heard the story. I'm going to give you a try. I'm going to go down that direction, and I'm going to see if this works, because I know what you're saying is right, ultimately, even though I don't want to do it. I ultimately know it's right, and I'm going to try it. And so that has been well over 40 years ago, all right, that I'm still trying. And then what I found out is the best thing that ever happened to me. Yeah. So I'm talking to the young man the other day, and he's saying to me, he said, oh, yeah, well, you had a good life. And I mean, basically, he was saying, you know, I told him I was married to my wife for 40 years. And he said, well, tell me the secrets of that. What? I said, number one secret is putting the Lord, Both of you put in the Lord first.
That's right.
Everything else falls into place. Really, nothing else compares to it.
Right.
And so he said, okay, other than that, well, and I began to tell him a few things about it because, you know, of course, he's not living for the Lord at this particular time, according to my understanding. And I'm going to get to a scripture here. And I began to talk to him about it. And he says, okay, so you were kind of on that path anyway. I said, yeah, but you know what? I have brothers and sisters this is not the story of their lives. I mean, they have some really broken, their lives were broken. A couple of them died as a result of the lifestyle that they lived on drugs. I mean, we're same mom, same dad, same household. We were taught the exact same way, but we made different choices. And as a result of their lives were broken. And I will say this, though, but God touched them and healed their lives before they died. My brother, he's one of those individuals, y'all heard me tell about him. He's one of those individuals that had eight children by seven different women. So let me tell you, that's a different lifestyle than me, right? But he's living in the same household. Literally, there was three bedrooms, one for the boys, one for the girls. We slept in the same room.
Yeah.
He died. Before he died, about 6 months before he died, he gave his heart to the Lord. He did not know he was going to die. And that was the thing that really touched me, because my mother would always say, when are you going to give your heart to the Lord? If you were unsaved, you just couldn't go in our home on Thanksgiving without mama saying something to you about Jesus. All right? When are you going to give your heart to the Lord? Oh, mom, I'm going to get saved. I'm really going to get saved. And he got saved. And got sick in December, a little sick. Didn't know he was, just had a little stomach ache. And didn't go to the doctor or anything like that. Excuse me for telling my story, but it's part of the message of healing. And so about a few weeks later, the pastor there in Tulsa went to see him, and he gave his heart to the Lord. He said, I'm going to get saved. And then from that point on, he began to get sicker and sicker and sicker, and came to find out that he had pancreatic cancer. Mm. And it's one of those fast-moving cancers. And his was triggered by his lifestyle. And about 6 months after he knew he was sick, just a little stomach ache, to his death, it was 6 months. Mm. But he gave his heart to the Lord. That's the good news of the gospel, that the Lord did not heal him physically, but he did heal him spiritually. And that's the most important thing, all right? That a spiritual healing, that's what the gospel message is all about. That it's a wonderful thing that Jesus did. He came and the stripes were put on his back. What, for the healing of our bodies? The nails were put in his hands and the spear was put in his side for the healing of our souls. His blood dripped down on the ground for me, for you, for everyone in the world. That's what he did. Isn't that wonderful? Now let's read Luke 4, verse 16. Let's read a little bit here.
Luke 4, verse 16.
Yes. Yes.
And he came to Nazareth.
He came to Nazareth.
Where he had been brought up. And as his custom was,
he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. He was just going to read. This is how they did their church back then.
And there was delivered unto him
the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he deliberately, I'm going to put this word in here, deliberately found the place where it was written.
The Spirit of the Lord.
Now, this is a prophecy. We dealt with this a little bit in the series. But this is a prophecy of who Jesus was. The prophecy about Jesus in the 61st chapter of Isaiah, I believe it is. All right, read.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me
because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to who? To the poor.
He has sent me
to heal the brokenhearted,
to preach deliverance to the captives,
and recovering of sight to the blind,
to set at liberty them that are bruised,
to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.
And he closed the book,
he gave it again to the minister, and he sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened upon him. And they began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear witness him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son?
And
he said unto them, ye will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever ye have heard,
done in Capernaum.
Yes.
Do also
here in this country. Okay, here, I want to stop there for a moment. Because what he said here, this is the purpose. This is giving us a clarity and an understanding of what the purpose of Jesus coming down here and what his ministry would be. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Do you know that the one thing that we have going for us, and this is the only thing that we have going for us as people of God, is anointing. All right. And what is anointing? Anointing is, in essence, the Spirit of the Lord actually using us to deliver the messages that we deliver. And what if that message is on the bike trail that Brother Randall, we need an anointing of the Lord. Whether it's talking to somebody about something, he's just asking us questions about how, lifestyle choices and all of that. We need anointing. That's what preaching the message is all about. That's what preaching is all about. Preaching the gospel to the poor, to those that are in poor condition, spiritually speaking. We are preaching, we need the anointing. Now here is Jesus standing in reading the scripture, and all of a sudden he's reading something that's prophetic and something that's true and something that witnesses to them what anointing is. It is the Spirit of God speaking through the person and speaking to the person. All right. So the Spirit of God speaks to you, speaks to us individually, and we understand that this is God speaking to me. How did I know? Well, sitting in my dorm room, how did I know that it was the Holy Ghost that was speaking to me? I knew it. There was no question in my mind. Well, I'm not sure who this was. Well, I just had a thought. No, I knew it was God talking to me, and I knew what God was saying to me, and I knew of a certainty all of those things that he was saying was true. And if I followed them, I would probably do better than if I followed the way that I wanted to go. And so I chose to go the way that he wanted to go. Had another conversation with somebody yesterday that we were talking, a relative of mine. We were just talking, and he was asking me some questions, and we were just having a little casual conversation about some things. And he says, he said something to me about being here in Sacramento. I said, you know what? There is nothing that I'm more sure about than where what I'm doing now is exactly what God wants me to do. There is no question about that. May the Lord help me to be able to do it in the way that God wants me to do it, to the level that he wants me to do it. And he says, you know what? Not everybody can say that. I hadn't even thought of that. I hadn't even thought that not everybody can say that what they're doing is exactly what God wants them to do. But let me tell you, you can find that place in the Lord. You can find that place in the Lord that you're doing. You're in the center of his wheel. You know it. You know it of a certainty. You know that your life is not broken because you know you're in the center of the will of the Lord. And all the things that happen in your life, all the bad things, and I've had some bad things that happen to me since I've been in here, challenging things since I've been here in California. I've had some very challenging things, some things that if I didn't know the Lord would had me here, I wouldn't be here.
Yes.
But what can you do? You got to obey God. You got to stand where the Lord tells you to stand. You got to be where the Lord tells you to be, because this is your ministry, the ministry of the church, my ministry, your ministry, the ministry of the church is the same ministry that Jesus had. He went places he didn't want to go. He did things he didn't want to do. He tells us about it in his story. He said, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, let thy will be done. That's what Jesus said. He said, I don't want to go through this. I don't want to go through hardship. I don't want to change my life drastically and do all these things. And I was talking to the relative of mine, and I said, you know what? The most difficult thing that I've ever gone through was when the Lord told me that I want you to change from this trajectory to the way I want you to live. That's still to this day one of the hardest spots that I've ever gone through in my life. And that's more than 40 years ago.
Yes.
So if you would say, what's the hardest points in your life have been? That would be one of them. And probably, if not the top one, it would be at least number two.
Yes.
It would be way up there.
Yes.
Because I did not want to do what God told me to do.
Yeah.
But I did it.
Thank the Lord you did.
I'm glad I did. It's the best thing, best thing I've ever done. All right. So he goes here. Because the Spirit of the Lord because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. So what we're talking about here is healing, right? We're talking about broken heart. Have you ever had your heart broken? Now, most of the time when we talk about our hearts being broken, and we're talking about relationship things, you know, oftentimes. I had a relative that passed away young, probably in her 40s or so. So I don't remember exactly how old, but several years ago, maybe in her 30s, probably closer to her 30s. But she passed away. And when they did the autopsy, the doctor said, what went on in this woman's life? Her heart is, it's like her heart was broken. And it was really true. And her husband had left her, and she had gone through a very difficult period of time, and as a result of that, I don't know, maybe her heart was not very strong in the first place, but as a result of what she went through, it affected her heart, and it just stopped. So you know what the Lord came to do? He came to heal. So I want us to understand that one of the things that the Lord, that the gospel message does, is it heals. And it's not just talking about healing, it heals. It's not just talking about healing us physically. Yes, the blood of Jesus Christ, the stripes that were put on his back, were for the healing of our bodies. And I believe in divine healing. I believe the Lord is able to heal. All right, I believe that. And I believe every person in here believes that the Lord is able to heal. I believe we come up here, we get anointed, we have someone lay hands on us, and we pray, and the Lord is healed. Every one of us, no doubt, in this room, God has done it, right? I believe we can say that as a witness that the Lord has done wonderful things. So part of the gospel message is healing. When things are broken, when we break our lives, and when we are hurting, and when there's something that's going on in a physical sense, yes, the Lord heals that. But when things are going on in an emotional, in a psychological sense, do you know the Lord heals that as well? Do you know that we all go through difficult things, and we all have brokenness in our lives? Part of our lives are broken in some way or another, and God has the ability to heal that. Amen. And I want you to know that. I want you to be clear about that the Lord can heal whatever the situation is that you're going through right now. I don't know what your problems are. You don't know what mine are either, but God knows. All right. So he says he comes to heal the brokenhearted, doesn't he? And then he says, preach deliverance. So the Lord wants us to be delivered. There are some people that are bound, delivered.
Yes.
Deliverance. The Lord wants us to preach deliverance. What does that mean? That means that there is nothing that binds me, that nothing that I am forced to do that I got that can't help it. Right.
Yeah.
You know, there are some people that are bound by all kinds of things, bound by lust, bound by pornography, bound by things I don't want to do this anymore, but they're bound by it. Do you know that the gospel message delivers us from those broken places?
Amen, Lord.
Now, what do? We submit ourselves to the Lord. We don't say that it's okay and that I'm going to do it and I'm just going to do it in moderation. No, God has the power to deliver us from those kinds of things. That's what the gospel message is all about. Our lives that are broken. Do you know that in the United States of America, about 50% of the children come from broken homes? 50%. Well, I mean, there was a divorce rate of about 50%, 53% some years ago. I didn't look it up for this discourse today. But so if you come from a broken home, and there's 50% of the children that comes from broken homes, do you know that that's going to have some kind of an effect on that child?
Yes.
That's going to affect them psychologically. It's going to affect them mentally. It's going to affect them in various ways. You're going to be affected by that. Those are the people that the Lord wants us as the church to minister to. Why? Because those are the people that he came to minister to. He came to minister to that. So I'm going to read another. He says, okay. Deliverance to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. All right, recovering of sight to the blind. You know, some people just don't see things right. Have you ever thought about how people do certain things and how you say, I don't see how they could do that. Have you ever said that? I don't see how they don't understand. I don't see how they don't understand. Now, we're talking, the Lord literally healed blinded eyes. Their eyes were blind, and the Lord literally healed it. But there are some people that don't see things right. Sometimes we're the ones. We're talking about other people, but sometimes we're the ones that don't see it right. Sometimes that we have a perspective coming from a perspective that makes no sense to everybody else. But we are so certain that we are right in this particular thing, and no one is going to change our mind about that. Well, maybe somebody should change our mind. Maybe you should let the Lord change your mind. I'm going to tell you what the Lord does. The Lord puts a man and a woman together. That is one of the most humorous things that I've ever seen. You know why? It's a beautiful, lovely thing, but you've got one person that thinks completely. Now, the brothers and sisters, all y'all, most of us in here have been married, right? Most of us have. Like, God, men are just, oh. And y'all get together and talk about us, don't you? You get together every now and then and talk about, can you believe he did that? Guess what we do? We get together and talk about y'all. We did as much as we possibly could. We did it exactly like she told. She told me to bring blue, and I brought, or pink, or whatever, and I brought back magenta or something. It was the same color. I may have told you this story. Kim and I were, when we first got here, we were out furniture shopping because we were looking for furniture to fit into the house that we had, and there we just overheard somebody else over in R.C. Willie, the furniture store here, and it was a man and a woman, and he said, well, and the guy was saying, well, what about this couch? No. Well, he said, well, you said you wanted blue, and she said, well, it is blue, but, and then she had this whole list of things why it wouldn't work. And so we just get frustrated. So we go find us a nice, comfortable recliner somewhere, and we go sit down. When you find the blue that you want, you tell me, and I'll just say, okay. That's how it works. That's the best way it works. So the point is, the Lord puts us together, and we're so opposite of each other. We think so differently, and then he forces us to say, all right, come together, and I want y'all to meet somewhere in the middle, or I want you to submit to her this time and her to submit to you this time, and we make it work, don't we? Some kind of way it works. And you know what makes it work? What makes it work is we love each other.
Yeah.
And when you love each other, those differences really, what the scripture says, charity covers the multitude of sins. I'm going to rephrase that, and I'm going to say the love that we have one for another covers a multitude of things that really don't matter.
That's right.
Lord, help us.
Right.
All right.
Amen.
All right, so he says here, recovering of sight to the blind. So there is some time that the Lord wants to recover the sight to the blind and set at liberty those that are bruised. Now, this is a preached a message on this some time ago, those that are bruised. Now, what is a bruise?
Evidence of an injury.
It is an injury underneath the surface.
It causes pain.
It causes swelling. But you know what? The blood vessels are broken underneath the surface of the skin. It's broken. And the blood. Now, normally, if you cut yourself and on the surface of the skin, it just bleeds out. And then eventually it gets a scab over it and it stops the bleeding and the blood clot, the clotting and whatnot that's supposed to happen. But a bruise is something that is underneath the skin.
Yes.
And if your skin is as dark as mine, it's difficult to see it. Now, those of you that have lighter skin, it's not so difficult to see it. But there are a lot of things that I can hide being bruised because of my skin tone. You just won't see it. It's there. I hurt when you bump me. I hurt there, but you don't see it. And there may be a bruise somewhere that's covered up in some kind of a way. But let me tell you what the Lord did. The Lord came to heal the bruises as well. We're going to have bruises. The things that have happened to us in our childhood. Maybe what we're talking about, 50% of the children are coming up into broken homes, and you get to be 13, and the boy wants to. He's wanting to spread his wings, and mom is trying to keep him there, and she just gets exasperated. Just go live with your father, and that's going to cause something in that child. No matter what you say, it's going to have an effect on him in some way or another. All right? I don't know what that way would be. There's multiple things that can happen as a result of that. But what we need to understand is that there's a bruise there. There's something that's hurting. And why am I telling this? Why are we having these series on on the gospel. Because you know what we're getting ready to do? We're getting ready to go out there and talk to people. We're doing it already. But in a greater way, we're getting ready to talk to people, and we need to have an understanding of the people that we're talking to and what they're going through. And then the reason that we have some brokenness in our own lives is because we can have compassion, as you say. We can have empathy. We can have sympathy with those that are around us, so that I can understand what you're going through, even though I'm not going through exactly what you're going through. But how many times have we said, you know what, I understand what you're talking about. I went through something that was similar, and this is how God did. This is how the gospel, I applied the gospel message. The Lord took me through it. This is what we need to tell people that are out there hurting. There's a hurting world out there, and our job as the church is to do whatever we can to relieve the hurt. Not just relieve the symptoms, but to relieve the hurt. We lead them to Christ. We tell them about the Lord. We tell them about the situations that we have been in. You do it every day. You do it with the people that call you, and the people that we do it every day. You do it every day. Don't we all do in some way or another? Well, we pray for somebody. We speak with somebody. We talk to somebody about their brokenness, because there is something about me that was broken as well. I went through it. We got broken hearts, broken homes, broken lives, broken people. All right, let's go a little further. Let's go to Mark. Mark, the second chapter and the 15th verse. Mark 2, verse 15. Yes.
Came to pass
that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together. Who sat with him?
Publicans and sinners.
Public, I had a brother in Dallas that he would stand up and say, you'd have to know him. He'd say, Republicans and sinners. I don't believe we can say that. Well, maybe some Republicans sat down with him as well. But he would say things like that, and he meant well by it. He wasn't jabbing at Republicans or Democrats, but he said, Republicans and sinners, they sat down together with Jesus and his disciples,
for there were many,
and they followed him.
And when the scribes
and Pharisees saw him eat with the publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eat and drink it with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he said unto them, they that are whole have no need for a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Let me tell y'all something. And here's what I did. And it is our responsibility to go out to the world and talk to people that are not saved. It is our responsibility to mingle with them. Now, we're not to be influenced by them, but we are to mingle with them. We're not so holy that we cross the line, and I don't do that. We need to go sit with the publicans and sinners. Publicans were the tax collectors that took advantage of people.
Yeah.
And the Lord wanted, the Lord sat with them. And if he sat with them, then it is our responsibility to sit with them as well. Lord, help us. Give us the opportunity. Give us the will. Give us the desire to do it. Let me tell you something else that I want to see here in our congregation. What I told when I was there in Dallas, one of the things that I said, when people come into this church building, you're going to see everybody that's here, that normally is here on Sunday night, Wednesday night, those individuals you're going to see again. But that person may not be the one, they may never come back. So our responsibility is to make that person feel so welcome that they don't want to come back to our church, because everybody spoke to me. Everybody loved on me. The reason I don't want to do it, because that makes me uncomfortable. Okay, they don't come back because of that. That's okay. That's between them and God. But if they don't come back because you did not go to them and you looked through them as though they were invisible and did not see them, they're offended. They can become offended by that. Don't ever let that happen.
Amen.
Don't ever let it happen. Why? Because that person is a soul that the Lord sent to you. He sent to you for you to minister to, for you to love on. Everybody responds to love. What should happen? What should be the case in our congregation is that we are a loving congregation. Number one, we love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We love Him more than we love anybody else. I love Him more than I love my wife, more than I love myself. That's okay, right? And then the next thing, we love our brother as we love ourselves. The thing that we're to do is we're to have love. If I have an ought with you or you have an ought with me, let's work through that.
Yes.
Let's work it out. Let's let it not seep up to the top. Let's get through it. Let's pray about it. Let's make certain that we're long-suffering and forbearing and whatever else we need to do. But when people walk into that door, they need to see that that brother really loves, these brethren really love each other.
Yes.
They are genuine. Those folks in that place are genuine.
Yes.
They need to see it. They need to understand it.
Yes.
We exude it. It's something that just comes out, right?
Yes.
And if we love each other, when you come in, you're just going to be a part of that love. You're just going to, oh, come on here. What's your name? Okay. Now you're part of the family. We're just going to adopt you in. We love you. We want you to know that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
That's the central theme. The central theme of the ministry of Christ is we do everything out of love.
Yes. That's right.
That's the central thing. Oh, we've got to do this. It's duty. No, it's not duty. It's love. I'm being driven, and love constrains me to do it. That makes sense?
Amen.
So what we got to do. And if we don't, people are going to see that too. I've been places that I felt like an outcast. I've been places where I was a visitor and no one spoke to me. Or very few people spoke to me while everybody was in their little huddles speaking to people that they saw last night. Or last week. Never let that happen here. Never. Make sense? Okay. All right. Go a little further here. So he said, and the Pharisees saw him eating with the publicans and sinners. They said unto their disciples, How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? And when Jesus heard it, he said unto them, they that are whole need no physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. If we're not careful, we can get in our little spiritual huddles, and we can be more spiritual than everybody else, and we can hold on to that. But that's not what sustains the church. If you want the church to grow, you know what you got to do? You got to get out there and you got to expose yourself into things that are uncomfortable. I've said this, and you don't know how much. But most people look at me, and I was talking to my. This is a cousin that I was talking to yesterday, and he was talking about how much he was an introvert. I said, well, I am too, but you don't know how often the Lord gets us out of our comfort zones. My daughter is the world's greatest extrovert. She and my son is too. They're both extroverted, right? My son less than my daughter. And I had a sister that, if there was a group of people, she'd find the center of it and she'd work the whole crowd. She would work the crowd and it was just energy that she would get from the people. Well, for me, it goes the opposite direction. I can work the crowd, but it's just, they're taking it away. And so we were talking about it and I said, well, you know what? The Lord puts you in uncomfortable places.
Yeah.
He wants you to be uncomfortable. And then those places of discomfort become... So now this is my place of comfort, right? And then when the Lord makes me go outside of that, now I learn whatever it is to go here. And now this becomes... It expands my place, my comfort level. Now my comfort zone is expanded. And then when I go outside of here, it expands again. And it just keeps expanding. So you don't understand what my mother told me, and I remember it as a child. I was very shy and very bashful. And I didn't like standing in front of people and saying, and I'd do all like this. And then, I don't know, something happened. Something happened. And now my comfort zone is way, if it's a place of discomfort, I've learned to run toward it.
Yeah. Amen.
No, some people say don't do that. Well, it's a place of discomfort. I learn to go toward it. Sometimes I don't run, and sometimes I do. I say, okay, what can they do? What can they do? They can hurt me. They can destroy me. What are they going to do? I don't know, but let's find out. So we're going to go outside that place, and we're going to get into that. That's what the gospel message tells us, that that's what we got to do. We got to go into some uncomfortable places. I remember several years ago, probably 15, 20 years ago, the Lord said, I want you to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. I've told you about that before. I want you to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. And sometimes when we go out and we preach the gospel message, it is not going to be comfortable.
That's true.
That's right.
But we got to do it.
Yes.
All right. Let's go a little further. Now, let's go to Luke, the 14th chapter and the 16th verse. It says, then saith he unto him, a certain man, this is talking, let read it, you can read it for us.
Luke 14 and 16.
Yes.
Then said he unto him,
yes.
A certain man,
yes.
Made a great supper and bade many.
He bade many.
And sent his
he invited a lot of people to this supper, yes.
To say to them that were bidden.
Those that were invited, he said, come.
For all things are now ready.
All things, I made a dinner. Now, if you make a dinner for somebody, you want people to come.
Yes.
You stayed up, you shopped, you worked really hard in the kitchen, you cleaned up your house, and then all of a sudden, 15 minutes before they're supposed to be there, they call you and say, I can't come. Because we got tired. We just don't feel like going over to your house right now. But that would be hurtful, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Lord, help us. All right, read.
And they all with one consent.
They all with one consent.
Began to make excuses.
They began to make excuses.
The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground. And I must needs go and see
it. I've got to go and see it.
I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought five yoke of oxen. And I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said,
I have married a wife.
And therefore,
I just can't come. I just can't come. She ain't going to let me or say, whatever, we're busy right now. We're not going to do it. So we have all these excuses of people that are in good places, in good positions. So we're talking about the gospel. We're talking about broken lives. We're talking about what it is that we must do for the gospel. All right, read.
So that servant came
and showed his Lord these things.
Then the master
of the house, being angry, said to his servants,
Go out quickly.
Now watch where he tells us to go. Watch where he tells them to go. We're going to go to those that have houses and lands and wives and all this kind of thing. But then when they say no and they reject this, now here's what he says. And now go out quickly
into the streets
and the lanes of the city.
And bring in who?
The poor. Who did Jesus come to preach to? The poor.
Yeah.
All right. He can bring in the poor
and the maimed,
those that are limping and crippled and got issues and problems, and whether that's a mental, psychological, those are the ones that the Lord's telling us to get, because the other ones have said, no, I don't want to come.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We've given everybody an opportunity and everybody a chance, but now all of a sudden they don't want to do it. So the Lord said, I want you to go into the street and get the people with the problems.
Yes.
They're going to, if you do that, then we're going to have all these problems in our church. Absolutely. That's exactly what we're supposed to have. There should be, now let me tell you what I believe very strongly. There should be, a church should be healthy. And I've been in situations of 30 years of pastoring where I had to work with the congregation for five years after we had a big blow. And I felt like I needed to heal, and I felt like the congregation needed to heal. And it took us several years. We didn't do any outreach at that particular time because we weren't ready to do it.
Right.
Well, you bring somebody, you're sick and you've got COVID, you're going to try to take care of somebody else that has it? No. It's not going to work, is it? So what we have to do, we have to be healthy. And then as we are a healthy group of people, we bring in other people that are unhealthy. And we are supposed to try, by the help and the grace of God, to get them to recover from whatever their unhealthiness is. Whatever their brokenness is. Our job is to, first of all, show them what it's like. Show them who Jesus is.
Yeah.
Show them what Jesus can do. There are things about our lives that if we went and you started asking me and I started asking you about things in your life, it ain't no telling what we'd find.
I'm telling you.
And not all of us are pretty on the inside. Not all of us have pretty histories, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, right.
Some of us have histories that are atrocious, and you wouldn't believe it. And I, you know, as a pastor, I get to talk. Oh, she's so sweet. Do you know what she used to be like? I've seen that. All of us have stories.
Yeah.
They're all stories behind it. Brother Darryl wasn't no saint either. His history. All, you know, we preached a message not too long ago, some time ago, that says every saint has a history.
Yes.
Every sinner has a future.
Yes, he does.
Lord, help us read.
Go out quickly into the streets.
I'm almost done. Go in the streets and lanes of the city.
And bring in hither the poor.
Bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind, people with problems.
And the Lord and the servant.
And the servant said, "It is done.
It is done as thou hast commanded.
As thou hast commanded. Yet there is room."
And the Lord said,
unto his servants,
Go out
into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. You're going to go and look up under the bushes, up under the highways, up under the bridges. I don't know what the Lord has for us, but I'm just saying we need to be ready for it. And we need to not be so high on our horses that we think that we're above it. I mean, have we ever, you know, the other day I was driving down the road and I stopped up here on Fruit Ridge and Stockton, and there's this guy, there's a homeless guy that I see here, there all the time. And you just wonder what his story is. So I started talking to him at the stoplight, gave him a few dollars, said, "Brandon, his name is Brandon." So I prayed for Brandon. I don't know. Maybe Brandon is one of the ones that the Lord wants to save and bring right here. I don't know. But we've got to be ready. We've got to be ready for problems and troubles and issues and all of those kinds of things. And if we're not, then we're not going to be a very good and a very good or sustainable church. Lord, help us. Y'all believe what I'm saying?
Yes.
All right. Lord, help us. All right. People, I think about it. I said, "Where's your family?" He said, "Around." So maybe at some point we'll be able to do it. But these are the ones that the Lord has come up with. Emotionally damaged people. That people that grew up in abusive environments. May the Lord help us to be able to reach to them. One other scripture that we want to read. A couple other scriptures maybe. James 5:16. James 5:16 says, "Confess your faults one to another, pray one for another, that you may be healed. Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." So it says, confess your faults, confess those things that are wrong with you. Confess. Confess is always in the, it always deals with what's in the past. Forsaking always deals with the present. Forsaking. Always deal with the present. And so when we confess our faults, that means I've acknowledged that there is an issue with me. I've acknowledged my own brokenness. And I don't believe that there's anybody here that can say that there's not something about them that the Lord could heal. Right? Some fault, some brokenness. And the reason, I heard a message by Brother Chandler one time, and he said, if all of us could just pop our finger, I'm paraphrasing it here, and every issue that we have in our lives, every fault that we have, every shortcoming that we have, we can just pop our fingers like that and we be completely to that level. He said we would never be long suffering to anybody else. But the things that we struggle with, the things that, now I'm not talking about sin, because I believe God can deliver you and keep you from sin. All right. And the Lord can deliver you. But the Lord, there generally is a process in these other things. And the Lord allows that process to happen so that we can understand how to work with somebody else. So the people that come in here, they're going to have problems. And we need to be prepared for that. Lord, help us. And we need to work together. It's very important that we work together. This is not a one-man show. And I want us to understand that. I appreciate the Lord sending the family, Gillenbeck family here. I appreciate all of you that are already here. And the Lord sending others that are here, that the Lord sent here. We are not a one-man show. This is not about Daryl. All right, Daryl, I can't do it all alone. But if we understand what the gospel message and the gospel message of healing, the first thing that we do is we ask the Lord to heal us of our issues. And then once he heals us of our issues, and once we're in that process, then we reach out to the other people. Another scripture that we want to go is to Mark the 16th chapter. We read it a couple of Sundays ago. 16th chapter, 15th verse, Mark. Yes, and he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and do what?
Preach the gospel to
every creature." So that's our job. Our job is to preach the gospel to every people, every creature. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." It's up to them, the choices that they make. I can't force them to do it, but God presents the opportunity to them, and they have to make a choice. All right. And these signs shall follow them that believe.
In my name
shall they cast out devils.
They shall speak
with new tongues.
They shall take up
serpents.
If they drink any deadly thing.
At some point we'll go through all of these things. But I just want us to get the overall thing. It's not that we go and pick up snakes. I know that there was churches that have done that. Just pick up. No, don't pick up. Don't tempt the Lord. All right. Don't drink poison. All right. That's not what it's talking about. So I'm you're going various places. I go to various places and they can drink the water, but I can't. Right. And so there are times that we can just say, Lord, bless this water. It's not bottled. I need water. I am about to, I'm so dehydrated. We can drink that. There's something in it that's not to my best interest and doesn't kill me. Simple as that. All right, read.
It shall not hurt them.
It shall not hurt them.
They shall
lay hands on the sick,
and they shall recover.
So then,
after the Lord had spoken unto them,
yes,
he was received up into heaven and sat.
He sat on the right hand of God. And what happened? They went forth and preached everywhere.
The Lord
working with them
and confirming the word
with signs following. You know what? If we are anointed by the Lord, as Jesus was, the Lord is going to confirm his word.
Amen.
And so what we have to do is we have to get ourselves in the place that the Lord wants us to be in so that we can do the ministry of Jesus. So when we talked about this, the scripture where it says the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to captive, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's the ministry of Jesus. That's the gospel ministry. That's the ministry of the church. That's our ministry. May the Lord help us. Pray for me.